Blog Talk Radio.
I don't understand why when you log online, it doesn't automatically start.
Welcome to Rehabilitating Your Portfolio, a podcast about how to protect capital while still capturing the upside. And now, here's your host, Brett Rosenthal.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and we're going to be exploring all aspects of rehabilitating your investment portfolio. This is a live trading desk, don't forget. We're involved in trades both multi-day and intraday as I speak right now. So we're actively managing capital, and all of the information that I provide on this show is information that you can rest assured is used in real life with our own private capital and that of our investors. So these tools I'm going to share with you and these disciplines are building blocks for you to rehabilitate your investment approach. When I say rehabilitate, what I mean is start making the right decisions in the right order so you can build your net worth in a meaningful way over time without taking dramatic amounts of risk. That's what we're talking about on this show. So as usual, starting with our algorithms on the big four indexes. Now, it's been a little over a week since our last broadcast, and that's just because there's not much going on when it comes to the big averages, the big indexes. And so we've been focusing on some of our algorithm building last week and a lot of our intraday techniques. And I'm going to share some of those techniques with you later on in the show. But let's start with the big indexes, right? The S&P, the NASDAQ 100, the small cap index, and the 20-plus year treasuries, U.S. treasuries. And then we'll drill down into the groups, any groups that we find interesting, and I'll leave the individual stock picking up to you all inside of those groups. Okay, so the big four. Let's start with the S&P. You know, we're out of that S&P. We right before Hurricane, what was it? Irma now, I guess. There's been so many, it's hard to remember which. The market shook out, took us out of our position. That was September 5th. We've been in cash with that part of our portfolio since the 5th. And the markets are trading higher, which happens sometimes. And then we just, you know, we're patient and we wait for the next opportunity. Opportunities always present, even though it seems like a grinding bull market that never comes down. It's really not true. There's a period of time where the market comes back in, and that'll give us our next shot. So we'll just be patient there. Now let's skip over to the NASDAQ 100. That's where we have all of our exposure right now. So you don't necessarily need exposure to the S&P 500. You can focus on what index gives us the best risk-reward setup, and that's the NASDAQ 100. So we're our exposure is as large as it's going to be in the NASDAQ 100 right now. That index has been underperforming the other two indexes. It's been in the midst of a pretty serious consolidation since July, and we just broke out of that last week, and we're starting to march higher. All of the big FANG stocks are starting to attract capital again. FANG, for those of you who don't know, is the Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, and then let's add Microsoft to that, because all those names are really driving the market. And so they went through a big consolidation period. I read recently there was a significant amount of short interest building on those names, people shorting those big cap winners from earlier in the year and rotating money into the small cap index, small cap stocks. And that rotation may be reversing, and it's going to trap a bunch of those shorts. And if that's the case, then it's very possible we'll have a nice big pop in the triple Qs and the FANG stocks in the fourth quarter, which we just started. So be on alert for that. Our algorithms are telling us we want to focus our risk exposure to the NASDAQ 100 type of names. And then small caps. You know, we went through our fourth target, which, is the last target where we sell some of the position and book some more profits. And now the rest of the position is just on a trailed stop basis. And every day the market trades sideways or goes higher, you get that trailed stop to move up. And so it's been an unbelievable ride in small caps, as they were the index wildly underperforming the rest of the market back in the middle of August. And now small caps are leading the market. So we've been getting this rotation from one index to another, and our algorithm sets us up to be long the index where we think the reward is worth the risk, and we begin reducing positions on the indexes that are, you know, a little bit ahead of the pack, where the risk is too great for any further reward. So we're at that point in small caps where any exposure would be just a base exposure. Profits all have been booked. This was a very profitable run, and now you're just, you know, we always trail a piece, you know, of our position. And depending on your risk tolerance, how aggressive you want to be, you decide if you trail more or less. That's up to the investor. Now let's go over to treasuries. They've been totally destroyed, and they're kind of the opposite of small caps. 25% of the small cap index, never forget, are small cap financial stocks. And so as there's been talk of another rate hike in December, and there's been talk of, not talk, I mean, the Fed said they're going to be reducing their balance sheet by letting some of the bonds roll off the balance sheet when they mature. That puts a bid into bank stocks. So here's something you can just jot down and put above your desk if you're investing, if you're trading. You know, hawkish Fed speak is bullish for small cap banks, and for big banks too, actually. You can look at ETFs like KRE, which is the regional bank ETF, KBE, which is, you know, other banks a little bit bigger. So that's K Kilo B Bravo E Echo, or K Kilo R Romeo E Echo, KRE, KBE. And of course, XLF is your big cap financial ETF. X-Ray Lima Foxtrot, XLF. So you'll see that if you look at those indexes or those groups and you look at the small cap index, you'll see they pretty much go, you know, with few exceptions, kind of in lockstep together, because it's such a big piece of the small cap index. Then if you flip the page and you look at the treasuries, TLT being the ETF we use there to review treasuries, you'll see that it's almost the reverse. So if those small caps are going up a lot and banks are going up a lot, usually TLT is going down as yields are going up. When yields go up, that's positive for bank earnings and balance sheet and financial stability. So it's much better for banks when rates go up, which is obviously opposite for bonds. Long bonds go down when rates are going up. Okay, so that's what we've been witnessing since the beginning of September. So a little over a month now. And the last time we spoke about treasuries, we told you that we literally top-ticked TLT on our last entry. We top-ticked it. It did not go any higher than our primary target, which was a target on the 7th of September. The high of the day, 129.57, that literally was our primary target. It was incredible, but sometimes it does work that way. Those targets are mathematically derived using proprietary calculations that have to do with Fibonacci sequences and other secret sauce, if you will. So it's not a surprise sometimes when we touch a number and immediately reverse. So here we are a month later, having touched our primary target of 129.57 on treasuries, now we're down at 123.88. Big sell-off. But with big sell-offs also come great setups. We're down near the 200-day moving average for TLT, which is around 122.99. 123 even's a major point of control, so anywhere around here, I would expect to see another buy signal for us that we'll definitely jump on and see if we can't make some money on. Nothing yet, if I look out a day or two, we'd have to get some major upside action to change that. So I don't see any long positions at the moment, but certainly our eyes are on treasuries at this point. And of course, that would mean that perhaps that'll confirm the run in small caps are over, and in fact they're breaking down this morning. So 1, 2, 3, we got 3, 4, four tops here. One, two, three, four. Today's day five. Small caps have been building a top, and now they're breaking down below the low of that top. So the key point of control in small caps is around 149.70, let's say. Right now we're at 149.45, so that's a breakdown there. But you'll notice the other big cap index is so far holding up much better, and the triple Qs are actually the only index up on the day. So there you have it. Okay, let's drill down and look at just a second here. There's trades in the portfolio right now paying attention to. We're getting some big volume selling going on in small cap index as it breaks below that key price point I'm mentioning, and volume is coming in the last 3 minutes. Now, what's interesting is very often when volume comes in after a move in one direction or another that's occurred for more than 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, and for small caps it's been going down all day since the open, sometimes that volume spike equals the reversal. So be advised, if there's a big move down right now in small caps on volume, and then we take out the high of the volume bar, that's an opportunity to cover shorts and possibly even get long right there. We'll see. That volume spike was there, but the movement on the small caps was relatively small. It only went from about 149.50 to 149.44. That's not a really big move. Usually we like to see an extension down, which everyone thinks is the beginning of a panic selling, and quite frankly, it's just a bunch of stops being run. There are algorithms written to run the stops, and once the stops are run, volume hits and the whole thing reverses. And that's one of our day trading techniques that we use, and I'll get to that in a minute, to establish positions. But let's drill down into groups. What groups are on our radar right now? We have two groups, interestingly enough, that usually are successful when the markets are going down, and that's utilities and precious metal stocks. Now, utilities actually can go up with the market. I shouldn't say that. They've been leading the market all year, so utilities are in their own type of rhythm, and I'm not exactly sure what the reasons are, and that's why we use algorithms. We don't have to come up with reasons. We just execute. So we're long the utility index. XLU is the symbol. What I like to do, and this is a little bit of homework for you, I'll leave this up to you. I don't like to discuss individual stocks on this radio show, but this podcast, what have you. But I like to go into XLU, and I like to find out when XLU pays the dividend, X-Ray Lima, Uncle, XLU. And then I go in there, and I find out which stocks in that index are paying the dividend the soonest, right? Who pays the dividend next? And if the once we uncover what those stocks are, and they have an algorithmic pattern the same as XLU, then I'd rather buy those individual stocks, right? Because that way, if I catch the move correctly, let's say the algorithm catches the move here, we get a move up in utilities, and we collect the dividend, well, that's a win-win. Okay? So a little homework for you. You can go to ETF.com. It's probably the best ETF website. You can plug in XLU and take a look at what are the big names in XLU, and then drill down and find out when they pay the dividend, who pays next, and see if that's a company you want to own. I would still use XLU as my exit, so if we get stopped out of the trade on XLU, I'll turn around and sell the individual stocks I own. So as long as XLU is in our portfolio, I'll stay long the individual names. And I may do both, actually. I'd be long XLU and long individual names. It just depends on how aggressive you want to be in a particular group. And then there's gold. So gold is very, very, very difficult to invest in over the last 5 or 6 years. Let's just start by discussing that. Incredibly difficult. We do have an algorithm that's successful over the last 6 years, which has made money over the last 6 years, being long GDX, Golf Delta X-Ray. Okay, but I'll tell you right now, it's only accurate 40% of the time. So we're going to lose money 6 out of 10 times. It still makes money over the last 6 years of a massive bear market in gold stocks, right? So how does it do that? Well, it picks up the entry points that are meaningful. So when there are big moves up in a bear market, we make money, and we get stopped out real fast if it's not working. And so overall, the successful investments are multiples of what the unsuccessful investments are from a return standpoint. When you're right in the gold stocks, they go through the roof, and you get paid handsomely for the risk you're taking. And if you're wrong, you got to step aside immediately. All right, word to the wise, just keep your eye on IWM. This is going to be interesting. It had that volume down bar. Now it's 6 minutes later, and if it takes out the high of that volume down bar, I would expect a rally back to the VWAP. So the high of the volume down bar would be 149.51. Takes out 51 cents on a closing basis, and I would expect there to be a run back to 149.97. That volume weighted average price, I'll get to this in a minute, is a proprietary RCM VWAP, so a little more accurate than what you might get off the shelf. Anyway, so having said that about gold, we are going to be long GDX in here. We're going to take some risk there, and maybe you moderate what risk you take because of the 40% success rate versus other investments where we get over 70% success. So a little more risk, and what we'll want to do is just take a little bit more, maybe depending on how risk, how aggressive you want to be or risk averse you want to be, you might do a little bit more, a little bit less. Got to pause this right here. I'm making an investment into the S&P. I need to take a break. I'll be right back. It's getting kind of interesting on our trading desk right now. We've got that reversal in place on the small caps, and by the way, it was on a volume spike in the other direction now. So that happens often. You got a volume spike on the downside, clearing out the stops. Now you got a volume spike on the upside, taking out the high of that bar. Like I said, I'm expecting a move up to the 149.95 area, 97 area. At the same time, I look over at the S&P. It's been a very dull day. There's a setup, what we call an LKL setup, over about a half an hour period, almost a little bit more, which is incredibly tight trading, first standard deviation below the VWAP. So when it pops above the highs of that tight trading over more than a half of an hour period, you want to get long that asset, and there's an incredibly tight stop. If it takes out the low of that tight LKL setup, which is also the first standard deviation below the VWAP, you exit your whole position because the trade's not going to work. All right, so I'm going to get to intraday trading techniques in a minute. Let's just wrap up on precious metals, GDX. So we're long that index, and then, of course, we like to drill down and find the companies we feel are the best to own. This is an index that's kind of a pet project of ours. We like focusing on gold and on gold companies, and so we try to find the best deposits anywhere around the world with the best political stability. And that's how we kind of broaden out our portfolio with individual names. Now let's get over to wrap up today's show with some of these intraday trading techniques. I thought I'd share with you just a list of things you want to look at when you're if you're trying to trade on an intraday basis. Well, of course, what we're doing is we're using our proprietary algorithms that are designed around what we call the VWAP profiler, volume weighted average price. So VWAP is something that all institutions and major algos and all kinds of real big money is run using the VWAP. It's the volume weighted average price. So there's a lot of prices you see flash up on the screen that are meaningless, but depending on where the VWAP is, the volume weighted average price. Think about that. That's where the big elephants are trading. It's the big elephant footprint, and you want to know where they are, and then you want to execute your strategy based on the VWAP. Now, there are VWAPs that are off the shelf. There's nothing wrong with them. We have our own proprietary VWAP, which is a little bit more dynamic. We've written in and into our VWAP algorithm things that are that help the VWAP become more effective on a depending on how aggressively traded the day is. So our VWAPs are a little bit more dynamic. They're not just static based on the day before. But having said that, any VWAP will help you become a better trader than what you are without a VWAP. And then what we like to do is we like to use standard deviations above and below the VWAP to determine when we want to put positions in the portfolio. And the reason for that is that we consider ourselves, from an intraday standpoint, we like to be mean reversion traders. We find the, for us, the way we like to trade, we find that's the most compelling way to put money to work. Mean reversion. So the further away we get from the mean being the VWAP, the more attractive it is to put a position on to go back to the VWAP or the mean. You'll find that the VWAP is a magnet for intraday trading. And so for us, when we get 1, 2, and 3 standard deviations away from the VWAP on the downside below the VWAP, then we're looking long. On the upside above the VWAP, then we're looking short. And so just as a way to get started, if you wanted to be trying to execute on an intraday basis, here's a tip for you. What we like to do is we like to look for weakness in the morning, taking us 3 standard deviations below the VWAP, and then based on certain setups that we've created, and you'll have to create your own. Okay, for us, we like volume reversals like I'm discussing in the small cap index right now, where you get big volume down and then a reversal back above that, the high of that bar, and you're 3 standard deviations away from the VWAP. We like to put trades on there looking for a move at the very least back to the VWAP. And if we're lucky, a move much higher than the VWAP. So in the morning, on morning weakness, we like to look long. Now, weakness can be anything. The market can gap up like it did this morning, but it immediately sold off. So that's weakness in the morning. Forget about what the gap is. It's weakness, and so we're looking to buy the weakness. Now, if the market were to gap up like it did this morning and go higher immediately, that's strength in the morning. Well, we're going to look to short that. And again, you've got to look for whatever setups work for you. It could be a volume reversal. It could be what we call V reversals. There's all different types of triggers that we all use. But using the volume weighted average price and standard deviations above or below it, and then you get whatever your favorite trigger is, that's a that's one way to be successful in the intraday trading world. And so I thought I'd just share that with you. Look into the idea of mean reversion trading instead of trend trading. And I think you might find a little bit of success there. So that wraps up for today. I hope that's been helpful. I look forward to chatting with you again this week. Certainly, if anything changes on the broad picture, I'll be broadcasting, during the day as things are changing. And if things are quiet, I might be back, on Friday just to wrap up the week. All right, so you all have a good day trading, good week trading, and I'll see you sometime between now and Friday. Take care.
To learn more about how to protect capital and still capture the upside, join us at rosenthalcapital.com. And for real-time updates about what our algorithms are saying, follow us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, BRETROSENTHAL.